I've had this thought on my heart for, I don't know, a week or so, and I think it goes along with, it seems like the Lord has directed on my heart for the last, I don't know, I guess the last month. Just focus on Him. And on Him alone. It's just a... I just seemingly just have been weighed down with the awe and the reverence of God. Like we spoke some on last week. And I just, this morning, I want to, with the Lord's help, to try to bring a few more thoughts that has been on our heart. I'm going to take a reading lesson out of the second chapter of the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. It says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man upon his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, and things in earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I'm going to stop my reading this morning with that. And my focus this morning, I guess, or my thought, if I had a thought for my text, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, to the glory of God the Father. That is my thought this morning. Christ is Lord. As we look at this and we see in the beginning here how Apostle Paul was speaking to the church of Philippi, and he was speaking to them about unity, being one mind and one accord. And he said in the fifth verse, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As he was pointing out to the church here, the oneness that should be in them, he's also illustrating through this teaching the oneness of Christ and God. He wanted them to know and understand that Jesus Christ was God. That being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That he came and died for the sins of this world. He came down from heaven and became as one of us. He was found in the fashion as a man, yet without sin. He took himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. But the thing of it is, for what he did, for him dying and for living a perfect life, a perfect sinful life, that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. a name above which, above every name. When you think about the word Lord, you think of supreme authority, the authority and over everything. We've been talking about God and just what God is. We've spoken about how, that God created everything, that He owns everything, that He is in control of everything upon this earth and in our lives and everything that we do. He's in control. He is God. He is in control. Well, Jesus is Lord. This morning, I want us to consider that. God gave Him a name above every name. Why did He do that? Because of the life that He lived. His death, His burial, His resurrection. He gave Him a name above every other one. He gave Him supreme authority. He gave them the authority to judge all things upon this earth, to judge us. You know, I've made the statement many times before, you know, that if it were left up to man to judge what's right and what's wrong, that we would make a mess of it. I think it's very obvious with when we look in our judicial system that we have in this world today, that we can look upon things that's done in our judicial system and at least from our opinion or from our thoughts of it, that it's a complete mess of how can they do something that is like this. But see, we know that there's one that is in control, that is in supreme authority, that does not make any mistakes, that doesn't do anything wrong. He never did while he was here upon this earth. He never did before He was upon this earth, and He's not doing anything wrong now. He's still perfect, and He's still judging and looking down upon this earth. In the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, we read some more about what's said here about this. He said, "For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living." He is Lord of us this morning. Those of us that have been saved, He is Lord. You know, and those that have not been saved, He is Lord over them. He's Lord over everything that is here in this world that we live in. He's Lord over it. For it says, "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of" who? Judge Wapner? Judge Joe Brown? No. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The supreme authority that God has given a name above every other name, above every other person upon this earth, in this world, will all be judged in accordance to that. We'll all be judged in accordance to His standards. You know? He set a standard, if you will, for the world. In that His life that He lived, He set a standard, a bar that was far beyond anything that anybody else could ever do, because He lived a sinless life. But He left an instruction and a blueprint or a guidebook for those of us that walk through this life to walk by. Not that we will ever possibly attain that perfect standard, because we can't. We're still in this earthly flesh. But we are to strive and we're to work for it. It's just like we said in our opening this morning. You know, it's a It's not a 40-yard dash. It's an endurance thing, and we're working towards that perfection. It says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Every one of us, you know. It's not, we live in a world today that there's this mentality that has trickled into the minds of this world and many of God's people that it's my life, I can do what I want with it. It's my time. This is my weekend. I can do whatever I want to do on my weekend. I'm in charge of my life. I can control myself. I can do whatever I want to. It doesn't work that way. We take it upon ourselves to do what we want to do many times, not what God would have us to do. And just know and understand when we're making these decisions and we're making these choices that we know better. That God is watching. That Jesus is watching. You think that we don't answer for these things? Absolutely we do. Absolutely we do. There's absolutely no way to not. He sets a standard for us. And it's not a standard that you can't do or he wouldn't have done it. I truly believe with all my heart that he's never give anybody here on this earth anything more than they could do. Nothing. This attitude of it's my life and I'll do what I want to with it. It's so wrong. It's so... See, it was for this reason. That Christ died. For this world. It was for the reason that He wanted people to come into a right relationship with Him. God, from the very beginning, when Adam sinned in the garden, He knew Adam was going to sin. God is God, and He knows all. From the beginning to the end, He knew Adam was going to sin, and He knew that He was going to have to send His Son Jesus to this world to die for the sins of man, because man could not pay that debt. He knew it from the very beginning. Man fell away, and He sent His Son Jesus into this world. You know, you think He sent Him into this world, but He sent Him in here as Lord. He was born of a virgin. There was not sin imputed into His body, like all of us. The sin of Adam was not there. He was born sinless. And He kept that sinlessness through His whole life. He was perfect. That's the reason we can call Him Lord today, because He was perfect. That's the reason God gave Him that name of supreme authority. That's the reason in our reading lesson when He speaks about the oneness, you know, Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He is Lord. I tell you, when I started looking into this, there was so many proof texts that can be read and can be brought out. In the 17th chapter of the book of John, Jesus speaking here. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Okay. As he's given him power over all flesh. He's given him power over everything. And this is Jesus speaking of himself. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You know, it's hard sometimes to grasp the triune Godhead, the Trinity that is the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's hard for us to fathom these things and understand just exactly how it all works. But it is what it is. The Bible tells us that our Lord, our God, is one Lord. He is one Lord. When Jesus walked upon this earth in his flesh, he was 100% man, yet he was 100% God. He was supreme in authority. He had been given a name by God the Father. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Over in the book of Colossians, we look in the first chapter, 15th verse. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? And this is speaking of Jesus Christ. The image of the invisible God. You know, and when you get to thinking about, well, it tells us over in the book of John that God is a spirit. And we know that we cannot see a spirit. We can feel it, but we can't see it. This tells us here that Jesus Christ was the image of the invisible God, that he was God in the flesh while he walked here upon this earth. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. When you think about in the first chapter of the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Over in the 14th verse, and it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, Jesus Christ. There is verse after verse after verse that points to the deity or the supreme authority of Jesus Christ. In the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, first three verses, it says, God at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in the last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir over all things, by whom also he made the worlds, whom being the brightness of his glory and an express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ, each and everything that he did, showing that he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord this morning. He is Lord of this earth. He is Lord of our lives. He is Lord in all circumstances. Whatever that goes on, Jesus Christ is Lord. We are not our own. The Bible teaches us plainly, those of us that have been saved by God's grace, that we are not own, that we are a purchased people. We are bought with a price. And that price was the death of Jesus. We are not our own. So please, we need to remember when we get a selfish mentality in our mind that this is mine, I'll do what I want, how I want, when I want. Please remember, we are not our own. Christ is Lord. Give Him honor and glory for everything that we have, that we own, that He has blessed us with, for this day that He's given us, for the breath that we breathe this day, for the ground we walk on, the food that we eat. Christ is Lord. We are not our own. He is supreme authority and in control of everything in our lives, our being. And when we consider these things and we think about these things, oh, it's so easy for us to lift holy hands and praise Him and give Him honor and glory, because it allows us to know and understand that Christ is Lord and that we can do nothing without Him. We would be nothing without Him. We would be all that we would be without Him would be sinners, doomed for a devil's hell. That's it. Without Jesus, without Him dying, we would be nothing. We would have nothing. Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible teaches that before this world was ever formed, that the plan of salvation was set into place. This is what had to be done. For you and I to go to heaven, this is what had to be done. Jesus had to die. That's the reason He's given a name above every name. He did what nobody else could do. He paid a sin debt for the sins of this whole world, for each and every one of us. And in doing that, He owned us. You know, that in our reading, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, that's not just for the saved or the lost. That's for both. See, one of these days, those that never trusted, those that never believed in Jesus Christ, they're going to be on their face crying out to God. They're going to be asking, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. In that last day, the Bible teaches us over there that there'll be those, Lord, haven't I done great things in Your name? And this is not word for word, but this is just my words. I've done so much in Your name, Lord. I've done so many good things in Your name. I went to church, I did this, and I did this. Lord's going to look at them. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. You never crowned me Lord of your life. You never gave your life to me. You never repented of your sins and trusted in me to the salvation of your soul. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. You must crown Jesus Lord. He has to be Lord in your life. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. No matter what. The days are coming. That day of judgment is coming. You know, I believe the clock is ticking fast. I'll just tell you. I believe the clock is ticking fast. The urgency for those that have never been saved by God's grace, that they might come to the understanding and be saved. The clock is ticking. You need to know in your lives that Jesus is Lord. You need to be able to understand that. And the only way that you can understand that Jesus is Lord in your life is through repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the only way you'll ever truly know and understand that Jesus is Lord. Many of us that have been saved by God's grace, we can know that and we can understand that because we have something that we can feel. Sometimes we may not act like it. We may go through our lives and through our emotions and we may not act like that we know that Jesus is Lord, but we do. We have something that we can feel. We can know that and understand that. And when we get reminded of that, we can agree with that. But if you've never been saved by God's grace, if you've never repented of your sins, if you've never trusted in the Lord and Savior Jesus to the saving of your soul, if the Holy Spirit of God has never convicted you, never drawn you, if you didn't know that you was a sinner, you would never know to seek help, would you? The Lord shows you that you're sinners. It's important that you make Jesus the Lord of your life. If you're here and lost today and don't know what I'm talking about, I just pray that you'll think about it. Let the Holy Spirit of God work on your hearts. We read in a reading over in the second chapter of the book of Acts about this was the day of Pentecost, and it says, "Men and brethren," this is the Apostle Peter's sermon that he was preaching there. And he says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and in his sepulcher, and is which is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this there before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father of the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." When Peter told them these things, their heart was pricked. Their heart was pricked. Their eyes was opened. There was conviction that was set upon them because they knew that they were the ones that had slain the righteous Savior of this world. They were convinced and convicted that they were sinners. That's what it takes for the Holy Spirit of God to convince you, to convict you. Over to the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, and I'm almost finished. Fourth chapter of Acts, verse 10, it says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. None other name given under heaven whereby Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. No other name. Nobody else that you can turn to. There's no preacher that can save your soul. There's nobody that can save your soul. That's the reason we instruct those that they have to turn to Jesus, because there's no other name given among men whereby they can be saved. No other name. You have to make Jesus Lord in your heart. And the only way that you can do that is repentance and faith in Him. Believing in the work that was done on the cross, Christ dying for the sins of this whole world. You must believe in that and trust in that. Repent of your sins that He might save your soul. That is my message this morning. I pray for that the Lord will just take it and use it to His honor and glory. Brother Dylan, if we can have a song. I want to have an altar call for someone here this morning that knows that they have not made Jesus Lord in their life. If they know they've never trusted in Him to the saving of their soul. They know that there's never been a change in their heart that allowed them to know what I'm talking about this morning. I pray if the Lord is dealing with you today, if He's shown you that you're that person, I pray that you would seek Him today, that you might be found.
Page 325 in the Mold Book.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you. Listen to His voice, leave with Him your care, and begin life.
The song. Be a word or a thought on anyone's heart. Yes. As far as I know, I mean, it's whatever church wants to do. However church wants to handle it, whatever. Anything on anyone's heart? It has been mentioned and said to me that we have conference preceding this service, and that way if anybody would like to visit some of the sister churches tonight during revival, that we could do that. Fine with me, just whatever the will of the church is, I'm fine with it. Just however anybody wants to handle it, it's good with me. Huh? Doesn't make any difference. Have we got all the, if we was going to have it, do we have all the information? Everything good? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what I was going to say. Does anybody object to go ahead proceeding this and just having our business meeting? All right. Take silence as a majority. If not, we'll just we could just go into business meeting. How are we going to do it? We go ahead and dismiss. That way, if someone has to leave, then you can leave. But if you can at all, please stay. If you're a member, this business of the Lord's church, it's important. Nothing else to be said or done. Would you dismiss us?
Most kind of Christ, Father, thank thee for this another lesson today. Pray, Lord, for our pastor. Thank thee for this teaching. And pray, Lord, that we might take this home and consider. We ask, Lord, that we might visit sister churches tonight. Lord, we may have good services. Lord, that we may be saved. We'll be blessed today. We ask, Lord, that you might bless our own church. Pray, Lord, that we might have back to the church and might lift up the name of the Lord. Ask the Lord, somebody go with us through this service and come down to the foot of the turn to the light. Get us back together at the next point in time. Lay us a blessing and rest in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Don't go nowhere, Dylan. We're going to the business meeting.